This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and welcome back to another episode of Checkpoint Intimate, where we go one-on-one on a certain gaming topic. This week I'm joined by Jacob. Jacob, hello.
Good afternoon.
My name is Elliot, by the way.
Hi, Elliot.
Yeah, just in case people didn't know.
My first intimates, I feel rather privileged.
Yeah, so we're kind of running through the whole team now. So many people are like, my first intimates. I'm like, yes, got to get intimate. We're talking about Darksiders.
Yes.
Darksiders 3 specifically, which is kind of like the big news story that's broken this week, I guess.
It's got a lot of people excited, or I'm especially excited for it, because there's been such a gap in between games. It's kind of, I hate to liken it to like the wait for Kingdom Hearts 3, but it's kind of been like that. But yeah, there's been actual reasons why things were pushed out.
I feel like it's so much more niche, though. Like, I feel like the passion is still as strong, but there's less people that passionate for it. Which is a shame, because I really like the Darksiders series as well. I don't think I quite have that drive that you do, maybe. Because I played the first and the second, but you were just railing off to me before, like, the mythology of the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, you're on a whole nother level, like.
Well, see, like, mythology for me has always been a passion anyway, but to have it faithfully replicated and then have someone be able to twist it to an original storyline and concept is really good. So Darksiders did that really well in both games so far.
Yeah.
So hopefully the third one will give its own spin-off again.
Yeah, if it can stay to that standard, like, I think people will be really happy with Darksiders 3.
Mm.
But, you know, yet to be seen. So officially what happened is Amazon leaked some information about Darksiders 3 before anything was announced. And that's kind of how this all kicked off. They released stuff like product information.
There was product information on what the game was about and a couple of screenshots.
Yeah.
Like in-game screenshots.
Cool. Like, yeah, it started getting people talking because, like, Darksiders 3 is news. But often when these things are leaked, you don't have, like, a plethora of screenshots to also go through, and yet it did, which was cool. But then, like, a couple days later, they had their first trailer, which is basically just a teaser trailer.
It is very much a teaser trailer. There's things in that are very interesting, considering what happened in the first two games.
Yeah, and then, like, a couple days later, so maybe, like, a couple days ago from
now.
Yeah,
then we had IGN's pre-alpha.
Yeah, just gameplay. Like I think it was like 12 minutes of straight gameplay, which is cool to see this early because, you know, I hate just watching teaser trailer after teaser trailer and being like, well, what is this game actually going
to
be?
Early immersion into the world is always a good entry-level point for anyone.
Yeah. And what do you think? Like, now that we've got all this footage?
I'm glad they've stayed for people that aren't aware, Darksiders is based around the four horse. I'm going to go horse riders because we can't go horsemen anymore. I don't feel like horsemen is very appropriate because Fury is a woman.
Yeah.
So horsemen, because it's all tied around the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but I'm going to refer to them as horse riders.
Is she a horsewoman?
She's a horsewoman.
Horse gal. They're just horse people. Don't assign gender when you don't have to.
True, horse people. But so I'd be curious to see if they adapt the language because it'd be interesting if they do.
Oh, they're not. Like, all of this, like, what they've done so far, they're like, oh, the newest horseman of the apocalypse. And it's, like, a female protagonist, which is, you know, I mean, I kind of get it as far as, like, they've already set the scene and created the dialogue
the
and
mythos
the language
is already there.
So, like, to then go back on that, like, just for...
For one thing, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. But so obviously we've had Wars Trials in the first Darksiders, then we had Death's personal struggles to try and redeem War. What was really cool about the trailer is the fact that we see War imprisoned before the Charred Council and Fury being there,
but not freeing him.
No, so it's curious to see. I'll be very curious to find out what her actual motives are.
Yeah, and what like her role in this whole thing is. And, like, how often can they be fighting the evils of the world?
Well, three is set to be around Fury confronting the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
And the physical manifestations of the seven deadly sins, which will also be interesting to see how it ties into it, because the lore from the first one was basically that the war between heaven and hell is started prematurely, and War becomes accused of starting that. But then it becomes curious to the fact that none of the other horsemen have been awakened or aren't present yet. So there's a whole ton of stuff that goes on there. Then Death's story is all about trying to prove that War is innocent, which then goes into more of the origins of the Horsemen as a whole, because you discover the whole concept of them being Nephilim, and the whole notion of the third kingdom of man comes into it, which is also really fascinating. So
there's so much like depth here.
There is. Into. And like, seriously, like I don't know how many, I'd have to check my save files to see how many hours I spent on these games.
Yeah.
But
it was a decently long game, like kind of surprisingly, because it is that, well, I'm talking about the first one here, but it is that kind of structured linear game that moves you through like set pieces and like specific zones that you're supposed to be in to move through. And usually those games, you wouldn't,
they were very much gated,
like 20 hours or whatever that game ended up being.
The first one was very cleverly gated behind different equipment and different skills, whereas the second one did expand into a much more open world concept, and true to an open world concept, because there were still sections of the world that you couldn't really progress through without certain accessories, weapons, etc., but you could still go there without needing them and explore a bit of them before you went further into them. So like, there's the clear distinction there, but it's good. And I'll be really curious, like, they've kept the whole desecrated earth concept, because earth was basically ravaged in the first one by the premature onset of the war, of the end war. And but it'll be curious to see what the actual motives of Darksiders 3 are, and how they develop from just these early glimpses.
Yeah, it will be super interesting. And I'm also interested because it does seem like it's more linear this third time around. So they've gone linear, a bit more open, back to linear. But it's yet to be seen, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're just going off the 12 minutes of gameplay so far we've seen.
But I do agree with you. Based upon the 12 minutes of gameplay from the pre-alpha, it does resemble 1 more than it does 2.
Yeah. Which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. I don't know. Yeah. You liked the progression, though, when it moved to 2, didn't you?
I really liked... Because I just drank in the expanded scope. The fact that you had so much to take in from, like, being able to explore the Maker's Realm so much more with the forges and the elemental stuff that came into play there. You know, the fact that you were able to revisit Earth, then you had the two keys you had to retrieve from the angels and the demons before you could actually progress to the end of the game. I just really loved... It was so expansive. It was such a break from the first game, which, as you said, was very linear. And I said, like, coming back to the whole notion of having gated areas... it was just a breath of fresh air from that, but they did it well in the sense that it wasn't too much. Yes, there were some areas where there were there were loading times involved, but once you got to actually experience those areas, it was pretty justified for me.
Yeah, seamless.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think the journey of this series of games is particularly interesting because of the collapse of THQ.
Yeah,
and
I was
so
worried.
So many people thought, like, oh, well, that there goes Darksiders. Because I think, and I hope I'm correct in saying this, but when THQ first went under and all the intellectual property went onto the market, Darksiders wasn't initially snapped up.
Nah.
And then everyone was like, well, there goes that series. Like, I love that series. Thanks for nobody buying that. But then Nordic picked it up and they actually rebranded themselves.
And now we've got THQ Nordic.
And so, I can't even
think of the number of times I've checked on that website going, please, Darksiders 3, some snippet of information, something.
We kind of knew it was coming eventually, right? Because nobody buys the IP and does nothing with it. But we had heard nothing for so long, and people were worried because you don't want... Like, it's hard when it's a new developer working on old property.
Yeah.
Because who knows, like, how capable they are of picking that up and working on it. Although... I think it is a lot of the same team members have moved into Nordic
and are
working on it. So it's actually very similar development team.
I like that because it respects the ownership of the IP, the original ownership.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. When it's purchased by somebody new, you either go down the two ways. They have to be able to put their own individual spin on it. But the challenge is keeping what worked originally, and then adapting that to their spin.
And I think it's particularly scary because in the past what we've seen a lot is like when a new developer picks up an old IP, they'll either stay so loyal to the old game that they don't do anything new and don't push any boundaries and it becomes kind of bland, or they just go, you know, this is ours, let's see what we can do with it. And everybody's like, well, this is nothing like the original. But it kind of looks like, I don't know, Darksiders 3 looks good.
It does look good. And I'm interested to see, because Fury's powers are about shape-shifting. So she is able to change her form. Her whip is obviously her main weapon, which is cool because you did... I like how they kept elements of the different key figures in all the games. So you had, like, Strife's gun. The whip did feature, like the claw thing you had with War was very similar as well. But it almost, I'm really hoping it kind of plays out like a Summoner 2, which was an old PS2 game, which it sounds like it's going to be that. So she takes upon different forms that you then have different abilities to use.
Okay.
So
maybe she transforms into like a horse woman and she doesn't need to ride her centaur. Own horse. Yeah.
Maybe she becomes her own mount.
Possible. That's a bit weird, isn't it? What do you think about the whip weapon? Because that's all we've seen in the gameplay.
That is all we've seen so far. It looks pretty vicious.
Yeah.
It looks.
Some of those animations are great. And this is pre-alpha as well, honestly is probably a marketing term. Like, I don't know. Like,
it looks pretty. It still looks pretty polished. Yeah.
It does look very polished for what I would interpret as pre-alpha. But, you know, whatever. Mm. Let's use their terms because that's what they've called it.
I like the fact that they've incorporated into the environment as well. Like, you see her swing with the whip across a ravine at one point in time. So, that's good. It's given more than just a battle function.
Yeah.
Which is always really good.
And we know how much games love grappling hooks right now. So exactly. Why not?
Exactly right. And all of them have had a grappling element to them so far. So, it'd be very silly for them not to do that.
Yeah, and it makes so much sense. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But I would definitely like, because with part of one thing that I really liked about Darksiders 2 was the fact that you didn't just have like one skill tree that you could progress down. You had different paths you could take. So with death, you were able to either go down like a necromancer's path or like a warlock's path. So either very magical abilities or very physical abilities. So it'll be interesting to see if the different forms that Fury takes. It'd be a very easy thing to make them, say, like a caster type or a melee type or a tank type with individual skills. So there's a lot that still needs to come out of the woodworks for this, for Darksiders 3 in general, to really make the concept sound. But I like what I see so far.
And we should say the game is releasing sometime in 2018.
Yeah.
Undisclosed time. So there is heaps of time.
There's plenty of time.
For that information to come out and begin circulation, and I'm sure we'll have reveal after reveal after reveal as long as people are still lapping it up and buying into it and watching all the trailers. And I mean I will be.
Yeah,
I know you will be.
And like it's kind of, it's the other good thing about Darksiders 3 is it will, I'm assuming it will be a PlayStation, hopefully there's not a PlayStation 5 out in 2018, because I'll be very very annoyed if case.
Not so close to the PlayStation Pro.
No,
and stuff.
I'd be very annoyed as a PlayStation 4 Pro buyer.
PlayStation 4 Pro 2,
PSVR 2,
or maybe.
But it'll be one of those things that I'll be able to get all three titles on the PlayStation 4 again. So the collection will be on a single console again.
Yeah,
which will be awesome.
That would be cool if they did that. They probably will do that.
Hopefully. Well, this, and then that's a matter of balancing. It's like money. Do I buy the War Mastered Edition? Do I buy the Darksiders 2 remaster? Do I hold off?
Yeah.
What will
and
I
where
do
they go after this? Because there are four horsemen.
Strife.
Strife is the last one. And you said he used the gun?
Strife is a gun, a gun wielder. Because you end up getting the gun in Darksiders 2, and it's called Strife's gun.
Right, so they've already like set themselves in stone, like what the fourth game will be.
Well, at least what the primary weapon will be of the fourth rider. Okay. So that's already established, yes.
Yeah, and then they can't go anywhere from there. That's it. Move on.
Well, I would really hope, and this is just me being a Final Fantasy nut, but like as soon as I think of gun wielders, I think of Vincent, and Vincent from Final Fantasy had his own spin-off game called Dirge of Cerberus, which was a first-person shooter, which was amazing.
Oh, you think that maybe this, like, Darksiders 4 will move into, like, first-person shooter territory?
Well, there is a possibility. There's a strong... I think that it would be...
That'd be so interesting.
Wouldn't it be cool? And especially if it, even if it was like certain segments of it had a first-person shooter element to it, where it was more around his skill as a
Well, it could be one of those games where it's like third-person until you like aim down the reticle. I don't know. See, like, I feel like that would annoy so many people, just because it would be, like, different, I would, like, grab onto it, and it might not work. But I'd be happy that they try.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And then it comes back down to the whole thing of, you know, what will you do that's fresh?
Yeah.
With an established IP.
And they're probably more likely to make those sweeping changes a second time around rather than a first. I can't believe we're talking about Darksiders 4 now.
I know, already speculating. But hey, it's good fun.
Isn't speculation so much fun? Hopefully Darksiders 3 is commercially successful, because the first two weren't particularly... I mean, obviously they were enough to get a sequel.
Yeah.
But they weren't that... Like, it's not a huge name that people are, like, latching onto. Or...
Like, as far as international renown goes,
because otherwise, when THQ went under, people would have bought that IP straight away, but they didn't. So that just already says that, you know, people don't think there's that much money in Darksiders. Mm. But, you know, I mean, they were great games, and if the fan base can be passionate enough and inspire that passion in other players, hey, maybe Darksiders 3 will be a fantastic game with commercial success.
So. And it definitely, like, it did successfully integrate itself into a fiction concept. It was very successful in the terms of its origins and how it sold itself as, and it was unique. It's a really fun game to play, you know. So I agree with you. Hopefully Darksiders 3 will return not just with the success of what it already established, but a bit more commercial success.
Yeah.
And then pave the way for a decent Darksiders 4 as a final thing. Just end it there.
Yeah.
There's four horsemen. End it there.
Speaking of ending it there, that's probably about all time we have this week. So Darksiders 3, sometime in 2018.
Check out the trailer, check out the pre-alpha footage, because it is well worth a look.
Yeah, even if it is IGN.
Even if it is IGN, and we're incredibly jealous that
exactly,
it's IGN.
Right? It's like, yeah, we want the first impression footage, then it's the Checkpoint.
Give it to me.
All right, thanks guys for listening. We have been Checkpoint Intimates.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.